Blog Talk Radio.
To a live broadcast of the Ant Canary Experience. I'm your host, Ant Canary. I am back live with you tonight. It is 29 May 2018, 8 o'clock on the East Coast. Looks like we got some crummy weather coming. I'm not sure if it's going to make it here or not, but And they got to send her, it looks like a weather doohickey since the storm is coming through, but we are going to be live anyway. And we are live tonight. I just want to apologize about last week. I couldn't do the show. Had some issues to take care of. I'm in the process of moving to a new underground secret lair hideout. So I had a few things I had to take take care of. And hopefully this time next month I will be in my brand new secret underground lair that I will use to take over the world in, I suppose, because all revolutionaries need their own spot. So I'm taking care of that, so I just want to apologize for that. But tonight we're live again, and tonight just wanted to do a take a short break from politics and talk about a comedian that that I'm a really big fan of, and that's Dave Chappelle. But before I get into that, let me do the ad, and then let me just kind of digress for just a minute, and then we're going to do our show tonight. If you want to call in, or if you want to sit back and listen, if you want to call in, the call-in number is 563-999-3682. 563-999-3682. Or you can just sit back and listen if you want to. Chat room is open if you want to do that or whatever. Or you just sit back and listen because I've got five good clips from Dave Chappelle. He's done a whole lot of good stuff. I couldn't include everything like I wanted to. But there's one clip that I wanted to put in here, but it wouldn't let me download it, unfortunately. But I will say that if you haven't seen the Def Jam special on Netflix, you need to check that out, because the clip that I wanted to add in here was a clip with him and D.L. Hughley. You talking about some funny shit. I wanted to include that, but it wouldn't let me download it. But if you have Netflix and you haven't seen it yet, check it out. That that 10 minutes with them on the stage, to me, I mean, the show was funny, but that 10 minutes of the show, to me, was probably the funniest part of the entire show. I think it went on, I think it was like a little bit over an hour. I can't remember exactly how long it was. It's been a while since I've seen it. But that 10-minute spot with them on the stage, that was probably, to me, the funniest part of the entire show. So if you haven't seen it, check it out. I mean, that was funny stuff. But tonight, like I said, I just want to kind of veer off a little bit and not talk about so much serious stuff. And even though there's a whole lot of serious stuff going on, but I'm going to play a commercial, then I'm going to come back. And then there's two things I want to talk about right quick before we get into the topic. And then we'll do what we got to do. So just in case you want to call in, 563-999-3682, 563-999-3682. Well, if you just want to sit back and listen, that's cool. I have no problem with that, because I tried to pick the funniest clips that I could find. Matter of fact, there's one clip that at the top 10 of all of his funny clips on the show, the Chappelle Show, which is, I mean, that's probably one of the funniest shows around. I mean, funny stuff. So tonight we'll just laugh a little bit tonight. Try to get away from the serious mess that's going on. But I'm going to play the commercial, come back. I've got a couple of things I want to touch on, and then we're going to jump into tonight's show. Be right back.
Hey, you, human being. Yeah, you. Did you realize we were made from the earth, the actual soil? You couldn't have realized that, because if you would realize that, you wouldn't be putting chemicals on your skin, because it's like putting chemicals in a plant. What do you put on a plant? Water, some sunlight, and sometimes plant food, depending on how stubborn the plant is. Same thing with our skin, same thing with our hair. So check out my products, Shamika Body Care and Face Butter Treats, on Facebook, and view the price list, the product list, the pictures, and place your order on my email at Shamika Robinson, 1, at Outlook.com. Stop using chemicals. There is no such thing as eczema and all these ridiculous skin diseases that they're naming. It's called your body is responding to chemicals. So stop letting your body respond to chemicals and get nature involved with natural shea butters and cocoa butters and oils. Again, you were made from the earth. So stop fighting against your nature.
Okay, we're back live. 563-999-3682. 563-999-3682. And there's a couple of things I want to talk about right quick. First thing, let's talk about the NFL for just a second. I have been a fan of football since 1977. Favorite team, Dallas Cowboys. Watched Super Bowl with my father that year. I was hooked. I've been hooked on football ever since. Then when we got our team here, the Panthers, became a Panthers fan. So I'm a Panthers fan and a Cowboys fan. I've been watching football for a long time. Back in the day, before every game, they did not play the national anthem before every game started. That only started until 2009. Before then, the team stayed in the locker room. They were announced. They came out on the field. They played the game. Everything was lovely. 2009 comes around. The U.S. military decides that they want to recruit. So they pay the NFL to play the anthem, to have the flag, and all that stuff. Before, only time the anthem was ever even played was Super Bowl. Until then, the team stayed in the locker room. They didn't come out there and all this other bullshit that we've got dealing with right now. So a couple of days ago, after all this stuff that went down with Colin Kaepernick, I've done shows on why he's taking the knee. He is not taking the knee against the military. He is not taking the knee against the flag. He is not taking the knee against the anthem. I've already explained that. I've had shows on that. I play the actual clips from the man himself. He took a knee because of police brutality and racism, institutional racism in this country. So now, mostly white folk are out here running around, screaming and hollering, with their panties all twisted up their asses, trying to make this a thing about the military and the flag. It's not. This is against police brutality and institutional racism. But as usual, racists like to take control of everything. So they took control of the argument and they twisted around and they made it to what it's not about. So the NFL came out a couple of days ago and they pretty much said that the players can either stay in the locker room or if they come out on the field, they have to stand. And if they don't stand, then they get fined. Bullshit. If I were those players, I would do either one or two things. I would stay in the locker room, or if I stayed on the field, I'd raise my right hand up in the air and have a bald fist. Because what you're seeing right now is total bullshit. This is phony patriotism. There are people in this country, whether you want to believe it or not, they want to turn this country into a Christian country, which it's not. And they want to sit up there and turn this country into some kind of totalitarianism bullshit where everybody's got to agree with the president and all this other kind of stuff. But that's not going to happen. That is not going to happen. You don't even have to stand up for the Pledge of Allegiance. These are grown-ass men getting paid a lot of money to do what they do to entertain people on Thursdays and Sundays, sometimes Saturdays, and Monday nights. And you're sitting here trying to tell these people, I mean, a lot of people that are mad at them, they're not mad at the reasons why they're taking knees. They're mad at them because they have the audacity for these darkies, for these black athletes to get on a knee when nobody told them to. And a lot of these asshats, you know, white ones, especially on Fox News, you know, they just want them to go out there and just run around with the ball, you know, to hell with their opinion. You know, they can't say anything. They just got to play the game and just be quiet about it. I hate to tell you this, but, you know, that shit might have been cool a long time ago, but see, that don't wash no more. That mess don't wash. We're not having it. So y'all cannot tell these guys what to do. And then the excuse is that, you know, do it on their time. It is their time. They're out there playing the game, dumbass. I've been getting in arguments with people on social media about this forever. Almost got into one today. My thing is, if you always want to bring up the same sorry-ass excuses, and then when somebody likes me or somebody that looks like me want to debate you and tell you what the deal is, and all of a sudden you want to run away, then don't get your dumb ass on social media spreading that garbage anyway. There was some guy, don't know him from a can of paint, he wants to sit there and spew all this bullshit. So I started hitting him with the facts. And then what he do? Well, I'm not going to change your mind. It's been nice talking to you. Have a nice day. No, don't go run off nowhere now. You want to get the argument started, so finish it. Because all these people out here doing, you know, and always, I've been saying this for the longest, you're mad about, what are you mad about? If you're going to be mad, have a reason to be mad. It takes a lot of energy to be mad at something. These dummies are mad for no reason because Fox News tell them to be mad, because a dumbass president tells them to be mad. They have no reason to be mad. They just mad. Talking about somebody disrespecting the flag, talking about somebody disrespecting this and that. Ain't nobody disrespecting nothing. It's the same stupid bullshit argument. They've got no argument for it. This is not about the flag. This is not about the military. It is not about the anthem. My thing is, if you want to impress somebody, play the whole anthem. Remember I did a show on the third verse of the anthem? How racist the third verse was? Play that. Why do you think they won't play that? They only play the first part. They won't play the whole thing. I wonder why. There's a reason why they won't play it. But nobody's up for this phony patriotism. I call them super phony-ass super patriots. They're the ones that, you know, yeah. And then when the anthem is actually played, they're not standing there with their hand on the chest. They're out there getting another basket of wings. Or going to the bathroom, or scratching their ass, or doing something else that they ain't supposed to be doing. But they act like everybody's supposed to, you know, do what they want somebody to do. No, that's not how this works. Since you seem to have no problem with taking somebody else's, First Amendment rights away, how about we take away your Second Amendment rights? How about we do that? Because I guarantee you, most of the people that are sitting there bitching about what these players are doing are the same people that are always sitting here running around talking about Second Amendment. Why don't we take those away from you? How about we tell you that you can't go buy a gun? Well, how about we tell you that all guns, whenever somebody wants to buy a gun, it's got to be a background check? How about we do that? You won't like that too tough. I wonder why. But you seem to have no problem taking away other people's rights. You know, y'all bent out of shape for nothing, you know. And I mean, it's the same. I mean, you could get on right now, and it's the same stupid-ass, bullshit, lousy arguments that they make, and they don't even think this stuff through. You know, they seem to have no problem with the funky-looking chick in Kentucky that all of a sudden didn't want to grant gay people marriage licenses. She was protesting that shit on her job. You don't have a problem with that. But then you always want to sit and say that the players are doing whatever they're doing, protesting at their job. But you got an issue with that. But you have no issue with some chick who, what, been married 3-4 times, got pregnant by one of her side pieces, but then want to sit up here and want to preach to everybody else about the sanctity of marriage. There's just way too much hypocrisy in this country. Maybe I need to do a show on that. There's just way too much hypocrisy in this country. You know, and the reason why a lot of these people can get away with saying what they're saying is because they're white. People made the rules. White people created the system. White people can bend the system. White people can got back doors to the system. But whenever somebody else calls them out or whatever about the system, all of a sudden they're in the wrong. You know, so this whole thing is bullshit. I mean, I'm going to watch NFL. I'm not going to boycott it because the NFL is made up 78% brothers. So I'm going to support all of them, even on teams I don't like. Even Washington Redskins. I hate the Washington Redskins, but I'm going to support all the brothers on the Washington Redskins team. You know why? Because, like I said, 80% of the NFL is brothers. So I'm supporting all of them. Because I guarantee you this, if all the white quarterbacks decided today that they were down with the protests and they started going out there taking these arguments that we're having right now, we wouldn't even have them. If Tom Brady took a knee, if Aaron Rodgers took a knee, if Matt Ryan took a knee, we wouldn't be having these issues. But we're only having these issues because only the brothers are taking knees. How dare those brothers don't do what we tell them to do? That's the only reason why we got this argument. So if you want these people out here and you want to take away these players' rights to peacefully protest, then let's take away your right to buy a damn gun. Since let's go tit for tat. Let's do that. You want to do that? No, I didn't think you would. But now, you know, the same people sitting there whining about what these players are doing, they're the same people back in the day, you know, telling Martin Luther King he needs to go sit down somewhere because he's stirring the pot. Whenever somebody uses the term stirring the pot, you know they're a racist. They don't want the pot to be stirred because they don't want to bring light to what's going on in this country. You know, whenever, just remember that. If you ever see anybody use that term, stirring the pot, they're probably going to be a fucking racist. Probably going to be a fucking racist. And I've encountered people like that too. So my thing to you, if you're on social media and you see this kind of bullshit, don't sit back and say nothing. Say something. I mean, if it takes you being in a damn a keyboard argument for 4 or 5 hours during a day, hey, do it. I've done it. I've had more than one argument with dumbasses online, you know, about this stuff. You know, and it gets to the point where, you know, I should just maybe not say anything, but, I mean, the shit gets good. Because as you keep going and going, you see how dumb these people are. I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of Republicans are stupid. You know why they're stupid? Because they don't think for themselves. They get their news off conservative radio, off conservative TV, Fox and all that bullshit, because they don't think for themselves. What we have to do, black, white, Latino, whatever, that ain't down with Trump and his crew, we need to call them out on everything. Every single time, they need to be called out on everything. Because you cannot let them get away with this shit. Because what Trump is trying to do, he's trying to spread this propaganda around, and we can't have it. Can't have it. So we need to do something about it. So the only way to do something about it is to stop it. You need to nip it in the bud with the quickness. And speaking of Republicans, your brainy president wishes people happy Memorial Day. What the fuck is happy about Memorial Day? The guy's a clown. But not only did he wish everybody happy Memorial Day, but he sends a letter to North Korea to cancel the so-called meeting that he was supposed to have, you know, about the Korean Peninsula. He pulled out. And his same dumbass followers think that he should get the Nobel Peace Prize. For what? He hasn't done anything. Do anything. He's too stupid to do anything. I guess they're afraid he's going to go over there and make a fucking fool out of himself, which he probably will. He probably will, because that's just the way he is. He's a dumbass. He's a dumbass. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's got no business being president. And we know that. We tried to tell you. But he writes a letter. Somebody wrote the letter. And then what's so bad about the letter that a retired English teacher got a hold of it, and she critiqued it. And she pretty much said that was the worst written letter she had ever seen in her life. But this guy is supposed to be, you know, the smartest president. They took a poll. Somebody took a poll and said that he was probably the dumbest president that we ever had. Duh. I could have told you that. You need to take a poll and figure that shit out. He is the dumbest president we ever had. He makes Bush look like a damn genius. He's a dumbass. He's trying to run the president like he's head of the mob. Like this is the episode of The Godfather, or Goodfellas. That's exactly what he's doing. He's sliding in backdoor deals with his daughter, who shouldn't even be involved in this shit to begin with. You know, she's trying to sell more of her bullshit over in China. I mean, the whole thing stinks. But you know why nobody say anything about it? Because they're white, and they can get away with this shit. If this had been Obama, you know what we'd be doing right now? We'd be watching the trial of Barack Obama on TV every day. They would have him on TV like they did OJ back in the day. Every single day, you'd be watching that shit on TV. If Obama or anybody else had done this, the same stuff that this clown is doing. And he's getting away with it because nobody's saying anything about it. Nobody's saying nothing about it. I wonder why. This guy is the dumbest, stupidest president we ever had. And nobody's saying anything. His people he's got in his cabinet are fucking corrupt. They're stupid. They're fucking idiots. And nobody says anything about it. This dumbass gets with Russia before the election to get help to win, and nobody says anything about it. You know, this whole thing is about money. He wanted hotels in Russia. He was going to drop the sanctions against them if they were to help him get in. But nobody says anything about it. The guy's a fucking crook. He's a fucking racist. He's a fucking piece of shit. I would call him a sack of shit, but a sack of shit has purpose. He loves grabbing women by the pussies. He's already said it. He raw dogged a porn star. That's already true. Matter of fact, she's going to be in Raleigh this weekend. But nobody says anything. Then you got these so-called Christians. I call them so-called because I don't believe they are. They support this clown, but if it had been anybody else doing half the shit that this clown is doing, they would have been gone. They would have been gone. But these alleged Christians don't seem to have a problem with him being a fucking crook. They have no problem with him being a damn crook. But if it was anybody else doing the same shit this clown is doing, they would have got ran out of town a long time ago. But America, you voted for him. I didn't vote for the piece of shit. You know, and the only reason why he didn't go to Florida this weekend is because they had him laying the reef, and he somehow or another fucked that up. The reef at the unknown soldier, which, by the way, if you are ever in D.C., you need to go see that. You need to check that out. And if you get lucky and check it out, you need to check it, be there whenever they do the changing of the guard. You need to check that out. If you've never seen that before, you're talking about impressive. That is very impressive. Check that out if you get a chance to. But he fucked that up too because he's a dumbass. I don't know what else to add about that clown. I was trying to stay away from it. trying to stay away from, you know, because I'm trying to keep this light. But I just had to bring those up. Just gets to the point where you just get so sick and tired of the same bullshit over and over and over again. You know, and there's going to be people like me, people like people of the initiative, and people everywhere that don't like this clown, don't like this administration, tired of the bullshit. We're going to keep doing what we're doing. We're going to keep saying what we're saying. We're going to keep doing what, you know, because somebody's got to do it. If we don't do this, nobody else is going to do it. If we don't keep these fools' feet to the fire, nobody else is going to do it. If we don't call out their lies, nobody else is going to do it. They're going to keep getting away with shit, and before you know it, it's going to be too late to do anything about it. So we have to make sure that we keep these clowns accountable for all the crap that they do. And I think that's what's going on now. Like every time that clown opens up his mouth, somebody's checking him. And that's what he's supposed to do. Because one of the very first things that a fascist will do will try to take over the media. Will try to tell you that everything he says is the truth and what everybody else says is a lie. And then if you're dumb enough to believe it, then he got you. But the rest of us, we are going to resist. So that's what we're doing right now. We are resisting. We are resisting. That's what you should do. Resist. Resist. So once I get my new digs, my new underground secret hideout lair, you know, I will still be resisting, whether people like it or not. That's just the way it is. And I can't do nothing for you, man. But keep doing what I'm doing. So anyway, let's get our laugh on with these clips from Dave Chappelle. Dave Chappelle is probably, I think, this generation's Eddie Murphy. And I grew up on Eddie Murphy. He's a few years older than I am, but I used to stay up. I grew up, you know, living out here in the South. You know, one thing that you had to do when you was growing up, I don't do anymore, is every Sunday you had to go to church. I had to get up every Sunday morning at 7 o'clock and go to church. But Eddie Murphy used to come on Saturday Night Live. He used to come on 11:30 to 1. And when you're a kid, staying up late, knowing that you got to get up early in the morning, I mean, I had to wrestle with that I don't know how many times. But Eddie Murphy was the man back in the day. So I would stay up Saturday nights and watch Eddie Murphy get up early Sunday morning and go to church. Dave Chappelle is this generation's Eddie Murphy. And Dave Chappelle does this shit so effortlessly. I'm telling you. It's like the guy doesn't even it's like it comes natural to him. But one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about him tonight, because I was going through some stuff a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, sometimes, you know, people go through some things and they don't know, you know, it's easy to give up. It's easy just to throw in the towel and just say, fuck it, I'm done. I don't want to do this. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to win. And then come to find out that he has been through some stuff when he was getting started that he lost, you know, on TV shows, you know, the talent shows and stuff like that. Something like a Star Search and all that kind of stuff. He lost. But he never gave up. He kept doing what he was doing. He just kept on. And I didn't know that. So it got me to thinking, you know, we go through stuff every day. I just had a little period. I was going through a couple of weeks where kind of it's like somebody turned your life upside down. And everything goes all over the place, and it's like, what the hell is going on around here? What can I do? I need to fix this. And it gets to be so easy sometimes. Be like, you know what? I'm done. I can't do this shit no more. And it's just easy to throw in the towel and be like, okay, I'm done. I'm done. Whatever happens after this, I can't do it. And then you have that little person in the back of your head that keeps talking to you like, yo, man, you got to keep going. You'll get through this. You'll get through this. So he went through he's gone through the same thing that everybody goes through in life. You hit a speed bump. What do? You go over it, you keep going. I call sometimes, just have a little controversy in your life. The only way to get through it is just to figure out what the problem is and get through it. Sometimes it's hard, and I would take walks. My lunch break at work, I would just walk around the campus and think and talk to myself. And I hope nobody saw me talking to myself. I used to do it all the time. Sometimes the only way to get through stuff is to, think about what the problem is and figure it out. And Chappelle has gone, early in his career, he was going through some stuff, but he made it through. So you have to give him props on not giving up. So I would say to anybody listening, whatever you're going through, don't give up. Don't give up. Do like I do. Just walk. And plus, walking is healthy anyway. I'd rather walk than run. But, like I said, I would take 30 minutes on my lunch break. I would sometimes eat when I finished walking or whatever, and I would just walk. I would just walk. Depending on the weather, I'd just walk around, think, talk to myself, be like, okay, now what's the problem? Okay, this is the problem. Okay, now how do we fix it? And what you do is you come up with a plan A, plan B, plan C. Hell, if you come up with 26 plans, there's 26 letters in the alphabet. Don't stop at plan A. Have a plan B. Have a plan C. Keep it moving. Because at the end of the day, whatever your problem is, you will get through it. You will get through it. Whatever the problem is, you will get through it. It may seem dark now, but the sun rises every single day. It rains, and then what happens after it rains? It stops. So you will get through it. I got through my situations, and I had a bunch. I had a whole lot of shit going on, coming at me from every direction. It was all over the place. So I had to solve each problem, pretty much one problem at a time. And I was like, I can't get through this shit. I can't do it. I can't do it. If you have to cry in the shower, go in the shower and cry. Get that shit off your chest. Because sometimes, the stuff builds up on you and it's like an elephant standing on your chest. It's a lot of pressure. But if you can get that stuff off your chest, we men, and the thing is with us men, we don't talk to people about our issues. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, because I think a lot of us, like me, if we have a problem, we want to solve it. We don't want, and me, I don't like a lot of people in my business. So I'll solve my own problems. So if you got anything going on with you, just walk. Think about it. Write the stuff down. And then just go through it, fix it. Everything will work out. Because this man right here, he's been through some stuff. And he's a millionaire. I don't know how many times over. But just think if he had, lost a contest. And he just said, I can't do this no more. I quit. We wouldn't be talking about him tonight. So whatever you got going on in your life, keep it moving. Keep it moving. It's not going to last forever. Because like I said, in a couple of weeks, I'm going to be giving you this show live from my new underground lair, which is something that I've been working on for months. And the fruition is going to be on a Tuesday. I don't know what Tuesday is going to be yet, but on a Tuesday, I'll be sitting down at a desk in front of the laptop with the phone, with my headset, giving you the show from my new underground lair on the west side of Raleigh. And probably, hopefully, I'll be giving you a whole lot of shows from that spot. But I wouldn't be able to be in the position I'm in now because I'm pretty close. I'm pretty close. It's just a matter of a couple of weeks. I've got some paperwork I've got to fill out and a few things I got to take care of, but it's pretty close. But it wouldn't be close if I would have given up. If I would have just said, you know, chuck it. I can't do this shit. I'm tired. I can't do it. So don't give up. Whatever you do, don't give up. So this first clip just talks about Dave Chappelle before he became famous. Play this, I'll be right back.
What up, yo? Man, I am in the fucking house. Boy, I just moved up here to New York, boy. You wanna know how it was so wild for me moving to New York? Cause I moved straight into the West Village. So y'all know that, you know, y'all know the first day in my new neighborhood, I was just walking around laughing like a motherfucker. Hey man, look, there goes some gay guys. Hey, look, there goes some more, they kissing. Hey, what the fuck, man? I had never seen so many gay people in my life. Started having nightmares, man. The same nightmare every night. I'm walking home late one night by myself. Nobody else is around. And all of a sudden, this guy comes out of nowhere, man. He puts a gun up to my head. You know, when he doesn't want my money or anything like that, he just says, click, click, click. Suck my dick. That's when I woke up every night. I told my boy about it. I said, man, I've been having this dream. You know what he said? He said, yo, Dave, I would bite his shit off. I don't have the heart to bite somebody's penis off. You know, you'd be on man like, I would think about it. I'm not going to lie. I know every guy would. As soon as they're going to be like, I'm gonna bite his dick off. I'm gonna bite his fucking dick off. click! Hey, don't tell nobody, man, but I gotta live. Well, fuck that. Y'all a hype dance crowd, man. Hey, we ain't even got a white guy in the house. What's up, man? Peace. I remember I went to a party with a white guy. He was like, he wasn't like, you know, he was like real Vanilla Icy and shit. And you know, brothers are at a party. When we get together, we call each other niggas. You know, nothing negative. Just be like, hey, what's up, nigga? Hey. Oh, my nigga. What's up, boy? And my wife friend got all excited. She said, hey, what's up, nigga? The music stopped. Everyone looked at him. Man, he got his butt kicked. Night. I mean, he got fucked up, you know. I hated to do it, but damn, he was talking about my people. Swear, man, I just got back from Los Angeles, California, man. That's all they were talking about was Rodney King this, Rodney King that. Them rides were fucked up, man. Let me tell you something. They looted a fucking donut shop. Man, why would you do something like that? I got them in the VCR, so this breaking shit, just damn. You hungry? Get some donuts. We gotta remember though, it is not all police officers that be beating people up, just most of them. See, I understand how the police feel because I myself used to have the most dangerous job in Washington, D.C. I used to deliver pizzas for Domino's. They would rob me every day, man. I come to be like, hey, buddy, here's your pizza. Great. Put it on the table. get a gun, man. Like, how many Domino's Pizza boys have you seen carry a fucking gun? I used to bust them people's apartments just, psh, Domino's, freeze! Put the money on the floor, man. Get on the floor. Don't move. All right, now I'm going to get out of here nice and slow, all right? I don't want any trouble. One of you motherfuckers is going to tip me. Peace, y'all.
Okay, and that was, what did I say? Yeah, that was his first appearance on Def Comedy Jam. So you can tell how young sounding he was back in the day. But like I said, you know, he didn't do so well on, I think it was Star Search, one of those shows. But it sounds like he did a hell of a job on Def Comedy Jam. So like I said, don't give up. Don't give up. Let's see, I think this is Brother Miko. What's up, Brother Miko?
What's up, bro? What you talking about today?
What's up? I am...
Not much, man.
I decided to go a little light today, so I'm talking about Dave Chappelle, your president. I had a little rant about him earlier in the show, but I didn't want to have the whole show on bad news this week, so I just wanted to do something light for a change.
Yeah, man, I'll probably, leave my president alone, man. What he done did now, man?
Well, where do I begin? He wrote that letter to North Korea, pulling out of that the alleged talk that they supposed to that they haven't had yet. They're supposed to have the talks next month. He wants to pull out of that. And then yesterday, he wanted to wish everybody happy Memorial Day. And, have you seen his tweet? Oh, if you hadn't seen his tweet, go find his tweet. He's a fucking clown. You got to read that shit. He's stupid. I'm telling you. You need to find it. You need to find that tweet. He's a dumbass. I'm telling you. Find that tweet and read it. Read what he said. Oof, he is stupid. He dumb. I follow him on Twitter.
I got you on track.
No, I'm about to get back on track. But yeah, I mean, he gives us material to talk about every week. But I just wanted to do something light for a change, you know. And plus, you know, I wanted to give, you know, and I know he's not listening, but I wanted to give Dave shout outs because I didn't realize this until I did a little bit of research on him, that, you know, he didn't, even though he's like, to me, he's like the funniest comedian out there right now. I mean, I can tolerate Kevin Hart and Cat Williams, you know, they are right. But to me, Chappelle is probably the funniest guy now. He wasn't always successful back in the day. He didn't give up. He didn't quit. He kept going. He kept doing his thing. And I think that's important to remember. Even though if you're going through some shit, if your stuff ain't looking right or whatever, just keep it going. Don't give up. And seeing what he went through and seeing where he is today, you know, he didn't give up. If he would have given up, we wouldn't be talking about it. So you gotta stay positive. You gotta do what you gotta do. And if you keep on doing, you know, if you have a goal and you keep on doing what you gotta do to get to the goal, eventually you'll get to it. But you gotta put the work in. You have to put the work in. I think one of the problems.
Well, what about my president, man? He had a goal and a dream to be president. He made it.
Well, let me say this about your president. Let me say this about your president. Your president needed a lie about an email, and he needed help from a foreign country to get his ass in the White House. He needed help. Now, he might have had a dream, but he didn't do. He didn't help himself to get it. He had help because he ain't never worked a damn day in his life. Everything he got, somebody else gave it to him. You know, he's like, he's full of shit. The rest of us have to work to get what we got to get. That clown ain't got to do jack. So,
right.
You know.
All right, man. I'm going to go on mute and listen up.
Okay, I appreciate your call. And I appreciate
right,
you making
bro.
Me laugh.
All right. Yes, sir. All right.
Oh, man. Okay. And what I should have said before I played that clip, that was Dave Chappelle on Def Comedy Jam. As a matter of fact, his first appearance on Def Comedy Jam. Now, the second clip, this is a funny clip. He's talking about racism, and he's talking about Sesame Street. And the Sesame Street, I mean, both of these clips are funny. It's like one long clip, but both of these clips are funny as hell. But the Sesame Street clip is funny as I don't know what to me. If you haven't heard this is funny. So I want you to check this out.
That's the thing. There's so much stuff to worry about. You know, the more you know, the more you don't know and shit. You know, like a lot of people be telling me, Dave, you know, you just got to relax. The racism thing be bugging you too much. And I be thinking about it. Sometimes shit will happen. You know, a lot of black people can relate to this. Have you ever had something happen that was so racist that you didn't even get mad? You were just like, God damn, that was racist. I mean, it was so blatant, you were just like, wow. Like, almost like it didn't even happen to you. It was like a fucking movie. That was like you was watching Mississippi Burning. Wow. That happened to me. I was in Mississippi doing a show, and I go to the restaurant to order some food, and I say to the guy, I say, I would like to have, and before I even finish my sentence, he says, the chicken! I said, what the fuck? I could not believe it. Could not believe that shit. This man was absolutely right. I said, how did he know that I was going to get some chicken? I asked him, I said, how you know that? How did you know I was going to get some chicken? He looked at me like I was crazy. Come on, buddy. Now, everybody knew as soon as you walked through the goddamn door, you're going to get some chicken. It is no secret down here that blacks and chickens are quite fond of one another. Then I finally understood what he was saying, and I got upset. I wasn't even mad. I was just upset. I wasn't ready to hear that shit. All these years, I thought I liked chicken because it was delicious. Turns out I'm genetically predisposed to liking chicken. I said, why? I got no say in the matter. I got ruined chicken for me. I'm scared to eat it in public. I want somebody to see me and say something. You know what I mean? Like you be eating some chicken.
Look at him. He loves it.
Just like it said in the encyclopedia. Look how happy he looks. Sesame Street. I said, Sesame Street. This is much better because now he'll learn how to count and spell. But now I'm watching it as an adult and I realize Sesame Street teaches kids other things. It teaches kids how to judge people and label people. That's right. They got a character on there named Oscar. They treat this guy like shit the entire show. They judge him right in his face. Oscar, you are so mean. Isn't it, kids? Yeah, Oscar. You're a grouch. It's like, bitch, I live in a fucking trash can. I'm the poorest motherfucker on Sesame Street. Nobody's helping me. Then you wonder why your kids roll up and step over homeless people. Get it together, grouch.
Get a job, grouch.
They don't even tell me how to get to Sesame Street. That is a terrible place. I wouldn't go there if I knew the way. Who would want to live in a neighborhood like that? There's fucking 6-foot pigeons walking around. An elephant that's a junkie.
Hyper.
Yeah, that's right. Snuffy.
Hi, Bird, I'm sick. I need some smack, Bird.
And Cookie Monster with his eyes popping out his head. Cookie, 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 like, ugh. What kind of cookies are you talking about? Chocolate chips don't do that to people. And then had the nerve to put a pimp on them. They didn't come out and say he's a pimp, but I know a pimp when I see one. They called him the Count. Had a cape and everything. You just see him pimping. Bitch, where is my money? You've been late 4 times. I've been counting. How many times must I smack you before you act right? One, two.
Okay, this next clip is he's talking about the psychology that men and women play on each other. It's a pretty funny clip.
The only thing in our society that bothers me the most is the way that men and women don't get along no more. That's really what's bugging me about it. Men and women just don't get along. Like, I hear women say this all the time. I know a lot of you sisters be like, chivalry is dead. Don't you? Don't y'all feel that way? Like, men aren't gentlemen anymore? That's right. Chivalry is dead. And women killed it. As a fundamental difference in the way we're going to see things. We're not going to see eye to eye on this issue. We're just not. Our tests in life are different. A woman's test in life is material. A man's test in life is a woman. Now, by test, I mean that those are the things that we desire. Men have nice cars. Not because they like nice cars, because they know women like nice cars. That's how it goes. Because men are hunters, and the car is the bait. And a woman comes and says, ooh, nice Porsche. Gotcha, bitch. That's how it is. That's true. Come on now. You go to a woman's house, her house be comfortable as shit. Women love comfortable surroundings, so men get comfortable surroundings. Let me tell you something. If a man could fuck a woman in a cardboard box, he wouldn't buy a house. But that's still not where chivalry got killed. Chivalry got killed by the feminist movement on the magazines that got women going crazy because women got too much advice about men from other women. And they don't know what the fuck they're talking about. And it's true. I see this shit in the magazines. I don't read them, but I be seeing the cover. I look at, I be in the grocery store, fellas, you look at one of the magazines, like, what is this? And they say on the cover, 100 Ways to Please Your Man by some lady. Get out of here, man. Come on. Ain't no 100 ways. That list is 4 things long. Just suck his dick, play with his balls, and then fix him a sandwich and don't talk so much, and everything will be happy. And then the magazines trick the women. The magazines start picking at your self-esteem. Every page you turn, you start feeling fatter and uglier. And you feel like your clothes aren't good enough. And the magazines have you forgetting how fucking beautiful you are. And that's what happens. Now look what happens. And then you forget how beautiful you are, and we all suffer. If pussy was a stock, it would be plummeting right now because you flooded the market with it. You're giving it away too easy. I'm just being truthful. I'm just talking. It would plummet. You'd be watching the news today, pussy plummeted again. And when I stack. Gold is up 10 points. You can see it. You ever have this happen? This is how confusing it is. This is the practical application of what I'm talking about. Like a guy be out. This happened to a lot of guys. You be out at a club, bar, right? He's kicking with your boys. And a girl walks by, and man, she looks good. She looks good. Not good in that classical way. I mean, you know, I'm talking good. Like, she got half her ass hanging out her skirt. Her titties are all mashed together, popping out the top of her turtleneck and shit. And you with your buddies, right? You with your buddies, you got a couple drinks in you, and you see a girl, you might try to talk to her. This might not come out right. I don't know what you say, but damn, look at them titties! The girl gets mad at you. Oh, wait a minute. Just because I'm dressed this way does not make me a whore. Which is true. Gentlemen, that is true. Just because they dress a certain way doesn't mean they are a certain way. Don't ever forget it. But ladies, you must understand that that is fucking confusing. Just is. Now, that would be like me, Dave Chappelle, the comedian, walking around the streets in a cop uniform. Somebody might run up on me. Oh, thank God. Officer, help us. Come on, they're over here. Help us. I'm like, man, oh. Just because I'm dressed this way does not make me a police officer. You understand what I'm saying? It's like, all right, lady, fine. You are not a whore. But you are wearing a whore's uniform. I'll tell you that shit right now. A little misunderstandings can happen. And then men, we misunderstand women a lot. You know, we always undermine their feelings. You can't do that to them. You can't. Because, see, feelings are, you see how they're clapping? Feelings are very important to women. They are all important to women. I'm just learning this shit. Everything's based on how they feel. You can hear when they tell stories. You ever hear a man tell a story, it'd be just facts. Who, what, when, where, why? It was me and Bob. We was at Safeway. Then that nigga Bob said this. Then I punched that nigga, and then I broke out. That's the story. That's the story. Women tell stories and all these feelings. And, well, first of all, you have to understand, I was on my period, and I just talked to my mother. So I was feeling like, God damn, so many feelings. What the fuck happened? Get to it. But I got to talk about them. Gotta talk about them. That's how they always get me. I'll be sitting there watching TV, chilling and shit. My old lady come up to me. David, we need to talk. Fuck! I don't say that out loud. That's how I feel inside. Because I know every time we need to talk, we need to talk about some shit that I gotta do. We don't ever have to talk about anything she needs to do. She leaves me defenseless. I have to do what I have to do.
David, we need to talk.
Nah.
Don't do that to me, David. This is serious. Stop talking in that voice.
No, see. I gotta do this, see. Ah, see.
I complain, but I'm happy I'm with somebody. I don't wanna be single. I don't like.
Okay. The next clip. This is a clip. This is when he did Saturday Night Live last year. And this was also the show that Tribe Called Quest was on. And they played that their new joint, We the People. And I thought, well, that, That song is the bomb, boy. I tell you, I love that damn song. But this is his monologue from Saturday Night Live.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dave.
Thank you very much. Thank you, guys. You know, I know it's been a long time. It's been a long time, so please be patient. You know, I didn't know that Donald Trump was going to win the election. I did suspect it. Seemed like Hillary was doing well in the polls, and yet I know the whites. You guys aren't as full of surprises as you used to be. And I think I speak for all of Black America when I say that we are all praying for Omarosa. I don't even know what she's doing in the news. But America's done it. We've actually elected an internet troll as our president. The whites are furious. I've never seen anything like it. I haven't seen white people this mad since the O.J. birth. The Supreme Court with white people on both sides. Ah! Now, I'm not saying I'm enjoying it. I'm just saying I've never seen this before. I watched a white riot in Portland, Oregon on television the other night. News said they did $1 million worth of damage. Every Black person was watching that like amateurs. So I'm staying out of it. I'm just going to take a knee like Kaepernick and let the whites figure this out amongst themselves. Because for us, you know what I mean? We've been here before. And I don't even think it's the most important thing we're dealing with, man. Don't forget all things that are going on. Shootings. What do you think about that? All these shootings in the last year, the worst mass shootings in the history of the United States, post-nightclub, which they said ISIS did. And then it turned out that wasn't exactly what happened. And if that is what happened, then ISIS is scarier than I thought, because they have very deep cover operatives. Look, guys, we're going down deep for this one. I might have to get a Grindr account and jerk a few guys off and throw them off the trail. I don't think the guy was in ISIS. What happened was he pledged allegiance to ISIS before he did what he did, which is not the same as being in ISIS. You know what I mean? Like, I was going to have sex with a girl, and right before I did it, I screamed out, Wu-Tang. That don't mean I'm in the Wu-Tang Clan. I'm just shouting Wu-Tang out. It's more shootings than I can literally count. You can't even go to the goddamn zoo without seeing a shooting out there. They shot a gorilla in my local zoo. And the Cincinnati police said shooting that gorilla was the toughest decision this department ever had to make. I said, well, you about to see a lot of niggas in gorilla costumes in Cincinnati. Why do we have to say that? Why do we have to say that Black Lives Matter? Now, I admit that is not the best slogan, but McDonald's already took You Deserve a Break today. And I guess it's kind of catchy because everyone else is biting it. Even the police bite it. Blue Lives Matter. What was he, born a police? That is not a blue light. That's a blue suit. If you don't like it, take that suit off, find a new job. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if I could quit being black today, I'd be out the game. I did the next best thing. I became a rich black person, which is harder than you think because, you know, your life becomes gentrified, like Brooklyn. All your black friends start moving out and all these new white friends start moving in. You find yourself saying things to friends you grew up with that you never dreamed you'd say. I'm sorry, nigga, you can't come with us. There's only enough room in the balloon basket for four. Ta-ta. Donald Trump, he did it. He's our president. And I feel bad saying that. I'm staying in a Trump hotel right now. I don't know if he's going to make a good president, but he makes a swell hotel suite, I'm going to tell you that. Housekeeping comes in the morning and cleans my room, and I just, hey, good morning, housekeeping. Grab a big handful of pussy and say, you know. Boss said it was okay. Sorry about that, Lauren. All my black friends who have money said the same thing when Trump got elected. That's it, bro. I'm out. I'm leaving the country. You coming with us? Nah, I'm good, dog. I'm going to stay here and get this tax break and see how it works out. That's how it is being Dave Chappelle. First time I got some money, it didn't work out like that. The most unlikely thing that happened ever was a black president came out of nowhere like, come on, everybody, let's start thinking about everyone else. Oh, nigga, I just got this money. I didn't even think it was possible. Trump went to go see Obama last week. Did you see that? Yeah, did you see Trump's face when he came out the meeting? Trump got sunned. He looked shook. Trump looked like he got shook. He probably came in there, hi, how are you, Mr. President? Good to see you. Hello, Donald. How you feeling? Oh, God, I've got to tell you, this job looks like it's going to be a lot harder than I thought. Really? It's not that hard. I mean, at least you get to be white while you're doing it. Saying I'm a little nervous. Nervous? Come on, man, relax. You haven't even met the aliens yet. It's going to be all right. I don't know what he's going to do, but I know Obama did a good job. Obama did a good job. I think we'll all miss him when he's gone. Do you agree with this? And thank God he lived to tell about it. This is the first black dude that ever heard America's secrets. And I'm happy he lived. If someone threatened our president, that is the only time that I'd want him to be stereotypically black. We'd be on the news like, an assassination attempt was carried out today on the United States president. In a bizarre sequence of events, the president himself was armed, fired back, killing four people that had nothing to do with the incident. He then ripped off his shirt, screamed out Chi-Town for some reason. You know, before I go, I do want to say one thing, and this is not a joke, but I think it's important that I say this because they're marching up the street right now as we speak. A few weeks ago, I went to the White House for a party. It was the first time I'd been there in many years. And it was very exciting. And BET had sponsored the party, so everyone there was black. And it was beautiful. I walked through the gates. You know, I'm from Washington, so I saw the bus stop, or the corner where the bus stop used to be, where I used to catch the bus to school and dream about nights like tonight. It was a really, really beautiful night. And at the end of the night, everyone went into the West Wing of the White House, and it was a huge party. And everybody in there was black except for Bradley Cooper for some reason. And on the walls were pictures of all the presidents. of the past. Now, I'm not sure if this is true, but to my knowledge, the first black person that was officially invited to the White House was Frederick Douglass. They stopped him at the gates. Abraham Lincoln had to walk out himself and escort Frederick Douglass into the White House. And it didn't happen again, as far as I know, until Roosevelt was president. When Roosevelt was president, he had a black guy over and got so much flack from the media that he literally said, I will never have a nigger in this house again. I thought about that, and I looked at that room, and I saw all those black faces in Bradley, and I saw and I saw how happy everybody was. These people who had been historically disenfranchised. And it made me feel hopeful, and it made me feel proud to be an American, and it made me very happy about the prospects of our country. So, in that spirit, I'm wishing Donald Trump luck. And I'm going to give him a chance. And we, the historically disenfranchised, demand that he give us one too. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen.
Okay. So then that so this last clip I'm gonna play. This is top 10 Chappelle Show sketches. Now I'm sure everybody knows what the Chappelle Show was and what it was all about. These are the top 10 sketches from shows on three seasons. These are the top 10 sketches from that show. And then after that, we'll put a bow on this episode, and then we'll call it a night. But we're going to play this right quick, and then we'll be right back.
Let's start the show.
You can't have a conversation about sketch comedy series without mentioning this comedian's short-lived show. Welcome to WatchMojo.com, and today we're counting down our picks for the top 10 sketches from Chappelle's Show.
Come on, Nick, yo, nigga, come on, it's me, it's Dave. We black actors, man, we gotta stick together, we black actors.
For this list, we're taking a look at the defining sketches from this acclaimed comedy show that was never afraid to tackle society's most controversial hot topics.
So call us, because at the end of the day, Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to fuck with.
Number 10. When it comes to racial slurs, is it the word itself that makes it offensive or the context? Chappelle, being the inquisitive host he was, decided to explore this concept the only way he knew how.
Is Tim still asleep?
I think so.
He sure is one lazy nigger.
This controversial sketch features a suburban white family that just so happens to carry an unfortunate last name, which, as you can imagine, makes for some more than interesting scenarios and double entendres.
Jenny has a date tonight with a nigger boy from school.
What? Oh, God, no!
No, Teddy, that's his name, Timmy Nigger.
Oh, of course.
Behind the comedy, the sketch speaks volumes about our society's social conditioning and what we consider politically incorrect.
Something show smells good. You niggas cooking?
We sure are. Get some leftover bacon if you'd like some.
Ooh, none for me. I know better than to get between a nigga and their pork.
Number 9, making the band.
The bad news is that I'm shutting down the studio. The good news is that I just saved a lot of money on my car insurance.
Reality TV shows do a pretty good job at making fun of themselves on their own, but that doesn't quite save it from Chappelle's critique.
Go out there and get Daddy a hit. I'm gonna take a nap.
This sketch parodies hip-hop mogul P. Diddy's MTV series, Making the Band, and hilariously sums up the show's numerous shortcomings.
You trying to get some of this hot fire? You can either make this song or not make this song.
You're too close, man. You're too close.
The selected band members never seem to get to record any music, and their boss's random assignments do nothing but lead the team astray.
You can live here.
can record here. You can be bad boy artists here. But if you want to do it, first y'all got to walk to Queens and get me a sugar cookie.
The comedic depiction of the cast is what really puts us in stitches and allows us to meet the self-proclaimed best rapper of all time.
Who are the five best rappers of all time? Think about it. Dylon, 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 and Dylon. Because I spit hot fire.
Number 8, a moment in the life of Lil Jon.
It's me.
What?
It's me, Little John.
Okay!
When in times of great despair, sometimes you are your own best listener. In this sketch, audiences look into the mind of one of hip-hop's greatest hype men. Along with posing as the performer, Chappelle gets the real Lil Jon to appear on the show and illustrate an intimate phone conversation with himself.
Don't you like popsicles?
What?
I said, don't you like popsicles?
What?
I said, don't you like popsicles?
Yeah! What? Yeah! Okay!
Amid all the various yeah, what, and okays, Lil Jon unveils some of his deepest disturbances and shows a side of himself not commonly seen.
I said, sometimes I feel like I'm all alone in this world and I have no one, sir.
What?
No one.
What?
To go to.
Huh?
No one that understands my pain.
Yeah!
The two end their phone call abruptly, and while they couldn't hear each other, we're sure they both understood each other perfectly.
Roger. Yeah. What? Melting down. Ah! Bye, nigga.
You've just watched A Moment in the Life of Lil Jon.
Number 7, The Wayne Brady Show.
Is Wayne Brady gonna have to choke a bitch?
Have you ever found out who your friend really was once it was too late? No? Just Dave? After seemingly taking over Chappelle's show, Wayne Brady shares his and Dave's eventful night out.
Oh, shit, it's Wayne Brady, son! Oh, shit!
Contrary to the joyful and charismatic straight arrow Brady portrays on television, the comedian is soon revealed to be a homicidal pimp with a short temper.
She is not going to believe that this happened.
That's because she is never going to know about it, bitch.
What?
Throughout their drive, Brady coerces Dave to take drugs, to become an accessory to murder, and to listen to his delusions of grandeur.
Take it. Come on, smoke it,
man. I don't want to smoke.
This is not an option, nigga. If you don't smoke this, we have a problem.
Just when you think you know a guy.
Ah! I'm Wayne Brady, man!
Number 6, Tyrone Bigum's Red Balls Energy Drink.
Sometimes the endless pursuit of crack leaves me tired and depleted. But now cocaine comes in a delicious shake. Red Balls!
Make no mistake, drug addiction is a serious problem. And Chappelle opted to show everybody just how severe it could be with the conception of this character. Tyrone Bigum's is much like your everyday community member, but he just so happens to be addicted to crack.
I love this drink! Thank you, Red Balls!
He's often comically depicted as a hygienically challenged homeless man with an exaggeratedly high voice. His various skits have shown him sponsoring a cocaine-infused energy drink.
Cocaine in a can, baby!
Speaking to an elementary class on the dangers of the drug.
Drugs and alcohol have ruined my life.
Being featured on Fear Factor.
Fear's never a factor, Joe Rogan. I'm trying to get some crack rocks.
And even attending a less-than-successful drug intervention.
Is this a 5 o'clock free crack giveaway?
Shazam!
Shazam!
Number 5. Reparations 2003.
FUBU is now the world's largest corporation after merging with Kentucky Fried Chicken. This is another amazing development on an already amazing day, Chuck.
If you're a fan of this comedian's work, then you recognize how keen he is on hypotheticals. This sketch entertains the idea of how the U.S. would react if African Americans received $1 trillion in reparations for slavery.
Folks, I am happy to report that the recession is now officially over, and we have nobody to thank but all these black people with their taste for expensive clothes, fancy cars, and of course, gaudy jewelry.
As reported by anchorman Chuck Taylor and his team, the country gets flipped on its head as various stocks on Wall Street skyrocket.
Sprint stock has skyrocketed after the news that 2 million delinquent phone bills have been paid just this morning. Incredible.
Crime drops to 0%.
The crime rate has fallen to 0%. How could that be?
Did the Mexicans get money today, too?
And Bill Gates gets dethroned as the world's richest man by Harlem resident Tron.
Bill Gates has been overtaken. By whom, you ask? A Harlem resident named simply Tron.
Number 4, the racial draft.
Unbelievable. Colin Powell and Condoleezza Rice now officially white. OJ, black again. What a day.
Racial ambiguity can be a beautiful thing, but oftentimes confusing. In an attempt to resolve some of the biggest questions regarding biracial athletes and celebrities, Chappelle hosted the first and most likely only ever racial draft.
Okay, guess whose turn it is? White people. Let's see what direction they go in. Halle Berry is still available, as is Mariah Carey's crazy ass.
In this, we see star golfer Tiger Woods getting drafted into the black community.
I always wanted to say this. For shizzle.
Lenny Kravitz becoming fully Jewish.
We, the Jewish people, take Lenny Kravitz.
And even more ridiculous incidences, such as hip-hop group the Wu-Tang Clan becoming accepted by the Chinese delegation.
The Chinese delegation pulling a fast one and choosing the entire Wu-Tang Clan.
Brooklyn!
This is big for us.
Number 3, Charlie Murphy's True Hollywood Stories, Prince.
This bores me. Is anyone up for a game of basketball?
Prince is revered as one of the most respected musical talents alive. But would you have ever imagined him to have some slick moves on the court? Charlie Murphy didn't, as he returned for another segment of True Hollywood Stories to recite the tale of the day he met Prince.
Prince had on like a Zorro type outfit. It had the ruffles that come down the front. He had the big perm fluffed out and all that.
Murphy recalls the two meeting at a nightclub before retreating to the pop star's personal pad. In the spur of the moment, Prince challenges Murphy and his crew to a game of basketball that he wouldn't soon forget.
How about you and your friends versus me and the revolution?
Underestimating Prince and the revolution, Murphy gets schooled Purple Rain style before being served breakfast by the winning squad.
After it was all over, he took us in the house to serve his pancakes.
Number 2, Frontline, Clayton Bigsby.
Clayton Bigsby, the author?
What, you don't think I can write them books? Just because I'm blind don't mean I'm dumb.
Most comics prefer to tread lightly onto the scene with their television show debut, but Chappelle isn't most comics. With his first episode, Chappelle introduces yet another hilarious hypothetical of a blind African-American man that is raised as a white supremacist.
How could this have happened? A black white supremacist.
When he finally agrees to an interview with Frontline, Clayton Bigsby's true identity finally reaches the masses.
Show us your face! We want to see your face! Yeah.
Who said that? You want to see my face?
Clayton, go on, brother!
His family and peers have kept the secret from him for his own protection and for the good of the movement.
He was the only Negro we'd ever had around here, so we figured we'd make it easier on Clayton by just telling him and all the other blind kids that he was white.
However, he finally makes his big reveal at a KKK rally, where the reactions are priceless.
Don't be afraid!
Before we unveil our pick for Top Chappelle Show sketch, here are some honorable mentions.
Samuel Jackson, it's my beer! Yes, they deserve to die, and I hope they burn in hell.
Is pimping easy?
Hell yeah.
Somehow that is correct.
Won't you braid my hair?
The winner of the 9th annual Player Hater of the Year award is Silky John Steele!
Kiss my ass! I'm the biggest hater!
Zero. Drugs. Two.
Number Number 1, Charlie Murphy's True Hollywood Stories, Rick James.
I'm one of the baddest motherfuckers of all time. One of the best singers, one of the best looking motherfuckers you've ever seen. Hold my drink, bitch.
Hollywood can be a crazy place, and it was this defining sketch that let us know just how crazy it got for Charlie Murphy in the 80s.
Charlie Murphy!
Eddie Murphy's brother allowed Charlie to rub shoulders with a lot of prominent celebrities of the era, such as R&B legend Rick James.
Fuck your couch, nigga. Buy another one, you rich motherfucker. Fuck your couch, nigga. Fuck your couch. Darknesses, darknesses.
Murphy's story highlighted the singer's insufferable behavior and drug problem, and how we'd often have to check him once he got out of line.
I kicked the shit out of him.
This single sketch shaped the show into what it became, and is also credited for containing Chappelle's most famous line.
I'm Rick James, bitch. Enjoy yourself.
Do you agree with our list?
God damn!
What Chappelle's show sketch makes you wish Dave would return to TV?
Love life! Hey, Chappelle, that ain't your wife.
For more comedic top tens published every day, be sure to
Okay. Excuse me. So that's the last clip for tonight. Like I said, I just want to kind of, you know, take a little sideways trip from what's going on in the world today. But I'll be back next week with another topic. And like I said before on the show, no matter what you're going through, never, ever, ever, ever quit. All right? I'll see you next week. Peace out.